am also very thankful to be here again in the house of God. And certainly we do covet his blessing. I was very encouraged in being here already by the devotional. That was God sent with what I had in mind to speak on today. The title for the message is A Good Conscience. And here some time ago I had a message on protecting your conscience. But today I'd like to title it A Good Conscience. What is a good conscience? If we go to Acts 23, he says here, just a couple of verses here that I'd like to read in Acts 23. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Can you say that? And when we were talking about trash, is there trash within us? If you have a good conscience, we will realize that. Someone needs to take out the trash. Jesus Christ will do it if you let him, but you've got to choose to let him take out the trash in your life. There is no way to have the trash taken out of your life without a good conscience. A conscience that will work. A conscience that the Holy Spirit can connect to. And the song, "I Have Shut the Door." Let's have that for this time here as we listen to this message. And I'm not sure where all this is going to go or take us. But if we can shut the door and just listen to our conscience. If you have a good conscience, it will speak to you and it will tell you if there's trash or where the trash is. But Paul is saying, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. There was somebody else who did not think so, and it was the high priest. He said, smite him on the mouth, hit him on the mouth for saying such a thing. Isn't that something? Paul said, I have a good conscience. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. And then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And you know, the high priest did not answer the question. Did he have a good conscience? And then they rebuked Paul with what he had said by saying this. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? And the next verse is every indication that the apostle Paul had a good conscience. Because when he was approached with that, you are reviling God's high priest, then said Paul, I wist not. Brethren, he called them brethren, that were saying, hit him on the mouth. Brethren, I wist not that he was the high priest, for it is written, the Bible says, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. So Paul agreed with them, you know, I'm sorry, I should not have said that. I did not know that he was the high priest. Paul had a good conscience. He admitted that he made a mistake there. But what Paul said was exactly the truth. But Paul did not realize he was a high priest, so he disrespected that part. But he respected the office to the point where he said, I'm sorry, brethren, I made a mistake here. I'm backing up. Like, I take that back out of respect to God's high priest. And then in verse 11, the Apostle Paul told them here that I am a Pharisee. And it made a great division here. But that night, Paul had an experience. It says here in verse 11, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.'" God told Paul that in the night. It said, the Lord stood by him. That is what God does to a person that has a good conscience. Isn't that comforting? That is wonderful. To get on with the message, I'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 1. And these are familiar scriptures, but I would like to enlarge on these scriptures. There is really a real message for us here in this thing of having a good conscience, protecting it. How does a good conscience work? How do I know that I have all my sins forgiven? How do I know? And Dean mentioned about how we treat each other, treating each other like trash. That was so good. That was very good advice. Do you know how to treat someone like trash? Have you ever felt like trash? Like when people come in the door and they totally ignore you and walk right past you without looking at you or recognize you. Doesn't that make you feel like trash? It can. But you know, the thing is, it is impossible for someone to treat you like trash, just like Brother Henry said, and not have trash within yourself. Jesus Christ gives us immense value. That is how he approaches us. And when Paul had a good conscience and the Lord stood by him, the Lord was showing Paul how valuable he was. And Paul was out to spread that value to other people. So how could we do otherwise? So when we meet each other, let's look at each other in the eye and convey that value. It's how a business works. It's how any successful business works. When that person comes into the door, he is wanting to be served. Are you willing to do that? Do you make eye contact with that person and say, "We are glad you're here. Can we help you with something?" Or do you want to look around? In other words, meet that person and let him know that you are here to serve that person. Or when somebody walks into the door and you just ignore them until they come and you've got your head down doing your work. And we've talked to some of our girls at Yoder Brothers about this. No, be aware when that bell goes and somebody comes in, look up and look at those people. Meet them, greet them, and show value to them. Because it's exactly what Jesus taught. In love, serve one another. We're not here just to serve ourselves. You know, there are certain preferences sometimes that we can have. In other words, how short our hair are or how long our hair are. But you know kind of what the accepted norm is for the people in this church. Even if hair might be so easy to take care of by making them real short, let's look at how do other people feel about it? We live here in a community where there are several churches. How do they feel about things? Let's be respectful. I'm not here just to serve myself. So therefore, I want to show respect to some of the other people who feel different than I, especially in matters of opinion. I'm not here just to serve. This is how I feel. This is what makes me feel good. I am a person of myself. You know, you've heard those things. And it's almost like, you know, you can't be yourself. I've got to be myself. God made me and he gave me value. I've got to be myself. I can't be somebody else if I always have to act in a way that I don't feel like on the inside. Well, look, folks. It's not about our feelings. It is about obeying Scripture. And the Scripture says, in love, serve one another. So when your person comes into the business or to your house or in this church or wherever it is, and you don't feel like saying hello, you don't feel like making eye contact, you don't feel like shaking his or her hand, you don't feel like it, and so you don't? No, that's the part of you that has to be crucified and denied. Like Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, love one another. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, deny those feelings, and to love one another. So that means that we need to do things that we don't feel like doing. We need to crucify these feelings and do what the Word of God says, and it says to love one another and to serve one another. So you don't have to be misinterpret this thing of being real. I have to be real. I don't want to do put on all the time. If I have a frown on the inside, you look, the Bible says in love, serve one another. And so, even if you're frowning on the inside, just plaster that smile on your face, because you are affecting that other person in ways that you might not realize. And you've heard how the value of a smile. I remember when I was young and at home, my brother Al one time was going around. And he said, what is worth $1 million and doesn't cost a cent? What's worth $1 million and doesn't cost a cent? And what he had, what he said was a smile. Is worth $1 million and doesn't cost a cent. And maybe he could say that pretty easy because he was courting Emma at the time. But still, it's talking about anyone. Just that smile means so much. From people that you don't even know, at Walmart or in town, wherever. When you walk past them, smile at them. Almost always, they'll smile back at you. If they don't, it's not your problem. And don't make it yours. This thing of having a good conscience. I'd like to switch gears here just a little bit and talk about fellowship with God and how important that is in having a good conscience. He says here in verse 1 of 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. This is coming from a man who touched Jesus. A man who touched the Lord, the one who made everything, made people. He touched him. He's one whose ears heard him speak and whose eyes saw this man. And he says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested with us. The person of Jesus Christ, I actually touched him and I heard him speak and I saw him, and that is eternal life. No wonder John wrote in this way, because he was a man who was right there. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he is saying here that I saw him, I heard him with my literal body, and I touched him. And I'm telling you this so you also might experience fellowship with the same man. Fellowship. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. What is joy? What is the difference between joy and happiness? Happiness, people express sometimes how happy they are when things come their way. I remember when I was a little boy and we were planning on a trip. It was so exciting and we were so happy, you know, when it happened. And even older, you know, we went on a trip west one time with our family. And we were just so happy that we finally were on the road. And it was happening. We were happy. But joy is different from happiness. Joy happens in the core of your being when you are having fellowship with God and there is nothing between you. And this is what a good conscience can do. If you have a guilty conscience, a bothered conscience, there is a cloud there in between and it takes your joy away. In the core, in the heart of your being, the joy is gone. And then to get through life, you kind of depend on happiness and you try to make this body feel good by going places. And, you know, I just need to go do something else so I can get my mind off of my problems and this and that and the other. And I realize the song where it says, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice." But what it is really saying is the joy that comes from fellowship with Jesus Christ. And my sins are all forgiven and under the blood. And I stand clear and I can say I have a good conscience. And there's nothing between me and God. That is joy. And there is nothing. I repeat, friends, there is nothing in life that will spoil that joy more than when you realize that I am not in full fellowship with God. I'm not in full fellowship with Jesus Christ, and something has come in here and spoiling that fellowship, and it's like a little bit of darkness coming in there and coming into your soul. Darkness. He says here then, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Didn't say God is light, and in him is no darkness. It says at all. It's like talking, you can go to the furthest little cracks and crannies and crevices, and it's all lighted up. It made me think of the LED lights that we're putting in Yoder Brothers. And it is wonderful how that light works. It does away with shadows and things. Not all of them, but it just envelops the whole thing. LED lights, they're a bit expensive, but it is such a different form of lighting. It says, God is light, no darkness at all. Everything is brilliant light. I'm sure the Apostle Paul could say that, because at one place it says that there was a light who shone on all of us who were traveling to Damascus, and it knocked us all down. That light was so bright above the noonday sun, he says. There was just a white light. And what did it say? What did the voice say? It said, "I am Jesus Christ whom thou persecutest." He was standing. Jesus Christ knocked him down because he was standing with the people that that Saul was wanting to kill and murder. No darkness at all. His light is prevailing, overwhelming, and perfectly pure. Because God is holy and there is no impurity whatsoever. Darkness. When we look at a conscience, is your conscience telling you that there is some darkness that you need to deal with? See, Jesus Christ, God, there is no darkness at all. And when he comes in there, he illuminates and shines the light on everything in your whole being. When you get to that place, you have a good conscience because it's completely cleared of all guilt and of all wrongdoing. And that's when joy comes in and it just envelops your life. Now we do realize that this flesh we have to deal with. And there are some people in our world today who will tell you that they have a clear conscience, but it is because it is burned so hot that they have no conscience at all. And you have heard the word ISIS. These people who are killing thousands of other people. And now you can go to their capital over in Syria, and the streets are lined with the heads of people. And they have no conscience against that whatsoever. They, in fact, feel that it is their duty to do, to kill Christians and to kill other people. They have no use for anybody else. Talk about treating them like trash. Murderers and warmongers they are. It is complete darkness. But do you know there is no actual difference in their flesh than our flesh? We have bodies, we have pumping hearts, we have fingernails and toes and arms and just like they do. There is no difference. But there is a huge difference in what we have allowed to come into ourselves. That is what makes all the difference. Because Jesus Christ has come in, and now we respect life. Even though they kill people like that, we still respect them. Or in other words, if you would meet one, you wouldn't go running for your gun to try to kill him. We believe that Jesus Christ has given value to everyone. And even though they act the way they do, it's just an indication that there is darkness within their lives. And Jesus Christ, if he would come into the hardest of them, just like the apostle, just like Saul, he came in there and that bright light shone in there and it revealed Saul for who he was. And he said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he was in darkness. He had shut the door. He shut the door between with him and Jesus Christ. And they got in there for 3 days. And Saul died. He died. And a new man came out of that. And then he was just the opposite. He was preaching for Jesus Christ. He's the one that said the words in our Sunday school chapter today. He wrote those words and he valued Jesus Christ. He's the man who said, I have a good conscience. When we go to John 3 and we look at that scripture where this man Nicodemus came and he had a question, he came to him by night. But he had a conscience that was working. He tried to have a good conscience. And that good conscience brought him to Jesus by night. And Jesus told him things that he did not understand. And Jesus said, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and ye receive not our witness. He goes on down and says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then he says this. We were talking about light and darkness. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. That is such a difference between a person that is dark and a person that is light. And Jesus Christ makes the difference. If there is just a small bit of darkness within you, there is somebody, folks, who wants to grow that darkness. And he will if you let him. He will grow that thing. till your whole being becomes enveloped in darkness. And that certainly would be miserable for people like us. If you choose God and His light and His holiness, you will have light. The messages we heard lately about hell and heaven are worlds apart. The one place is about darkness and the other place is about light. Really appreciated that. But how can we tell if we have any darkness within ourselves or not? How can you tell? And I remember Henry talking about struggling with doubt about being saved. Am I really saved? Am I really ready to go to heaven? Or am I going to go to hell? And you know, messages about heaven and hell makes you think those things. And then, you know, are we bothered by that? Like a guilty conscience, we don't really have peace. Is there something I'm constantly struggling with? I'll just go on and read a little bit more here. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how can you clearly tell if you have any darkness within yourselves? It talks here about confession. And he says here, if we confess. John here was including himself in this thing about confession. And you know, the question then comes, how do I know if I need to just confess to God? Or do I need to confess to one of my fellow man? Or do I need to tell a person about what I have done? How do you know the difference? First of all, we want to realize that confession is very simply just agreeing with God. When you confess something to God, we are just agreeing with God. But sometimes when we have confessed it to God, we don't have complete rest in our conscience. And if we don't get rest, we don't have a good, healthy conscience. So how can we know if we need to just confess it to God or if we also need to confess it maybe before this church or to some individual? Or to some counselor. How do we know? And there is another thing that comes in here, and that is trust. You know, there are people, maybe especially young people, who have struggled with this thing of, you know, the things that I did were awful. How can I really know that Jesus Christ took care of them? How can I really know? And that's where doubt comes in and the struggle of like a guilty conscience. I heard of a young man who one time spent, or there were times that he spent 6 hours confessing his sins to God. Just pouring out his heart to God and confessing. Spent 6 hours doing that at a time. And he was not converted. And that is why he had to spend all that time confessing his sins to God over and over and over again. But he was not converted. And that's why he could not have the trust and faith in Jesus Christ to take care of those things. And I thought we'd sing the song about, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But I'm running out of time. I have too much to say yet. But just read that psalm. It means so much about this thing of having a good conscience and committing all your sins and things to God and knowing that he will take care of them. But when we confess and confess and confess and we're not converted, or we, you know, confession just does not take care of it. It's just like spinning your wheels. You're not getting anywhere. You must look at this thing of trusting Jesus Christ to take care of things. And you know, it makes me think of one time someone came to Yoder Brothers. Well, this happens often. But they come to Yoder Brothers to pick up meat and back their cars up. And we have, of course, the meat is rolled out on trays, and they will dump those trays over into the car, into the trunk. They don't have boxes to put it in. They don't want to spend money for boxes. So they just pile their trunk full of meat, frozen meat, and off they go. They're happy. Well, we are too, if that's how they want to do it. But here, some time ago, there were, I think it was two ladies that came to the butcher house. And that's how they had done it. That's how they did it. And they said, you know what? We didn't use boxes the other time, but I think we will this time. Because after a period of time, we'd get in this car and we would smell something and we just could not figure out where the smell was coming from. And they looked high and low. And they thought they looked everywhere and they couldn't figure out the smell. It got to where it was terrible. I have seen meat like that. It turns green. And you know, there are people, there are sometimes people's flesh that turns green as well. And that is gangrene. It's something that will kill you. The bacteria becomes so heavy, it turns color and it turns green. And that's what this was. Just one little pound of burger in the trunk that had slipped into a crevice down in there. And they didn't find it. And they looked high and low and they couldn't find it. But the smell was so terrible, it was just miserable to drive the car. That is exactly what a person looks like. Is spiritually, in a sense, when there is something unconfessed that is down in your heart and it's bothering you and it's bothering you and it just stays there and it's rotten and it's horrible and that's what it becomes. And it was something that will turn to gangrene spiritually and kill you. We need to get that. When you give your heart and soul to Jesus Christ, he comes first in everything. He deals with that darkness. It says here that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll help you deal with the meat in the trunk. Get it out. Get it away. I've heard of a woman who went to the river to wash her clothes. She took her basket, her bundle of clothes down there to wash. And it was the custom. And a lot of people came to the river and they would dump their clothes out there and they would, you know, they would wash them. You know, and I know the ladies, they know what that, they're concerned that the clothes are clean. But this lady came with clothes that had holes in them and they were so dirty and she was so embarrassed that other people would see these clothes that she just took the whole bundle and just dipped it into the water and soaked it just a little bit, and then he just got it up again and took them home like that. Can you imagine how those clothes were when she undid the bundle? That's the picture of a life. When we are too embarrassed to confess our sins, and we just kind of keep them covered. You're not clean. You're not washed clean. Doesn't smell good either. All crumpled and wrinkled and or wrinkled. How can I know if I need to just confess to God or do I need to tell someone else? And I'd like to just listen carefully. There are some questions that you need to ask yourself. First of all, well, this is how I believe. And Henry and Irvin might tell you a little different. I don't know. But this is how I believe. If you look at the sin honestly, has it affected anybody else by what you have done? If you're not aware that it has affected anybody else and it's between you and God, then confess it to God. And if you have complete rest in your conscience, you feel clear between yourself and God, I would say that should certainly take care of it. But if you know that you have hurt somebody else or it has affected other people with the sin that you have done, then you need to tell that person, go to that person and confess it and make it right. And sometimes you might even need to go to someone of the ministers or a counselor or to your parents, to somebody that you have confidence and faith in that they will give you a good answer. Confess it to them and put it in their hands to see what needs to be done about this. But if you confess something and you think you can do it just between you and God, you certainly need to confess it to God. It's agreeing with God about the sin that you have committed. And you're saying, God, I agree. This is darkness. This is sin. I don't want it in my life. And then you have complete victory over doing that thing. You can let it rest there and you know God is taken care of. That joy comes back into your heart. And you know you have full fellowship with God. That tells you clearly that it's been taken care of. But if you can't get the peace that you need help. You need to go tell somebody else about that. And there are times, lots of times, when that can then bring peace when you have done that. If that just will not suffice, it needs to go on, and maybe you just need to confess it to the church. And if that doesn't take care of it, then you know that you have got a problem of trust and doubt in your life. A problem of having confidence and faith that He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There was once, there's a legend that is told about light and darkness. And the darkness was in the form of a cave. And the light was in the form of the sun. So the sun was talking to the cave in its darkness and said that you should come and visit me. And so the cave, it went to visit the sun. And of course, you know, it experienced the sun's light. You know, the light came in, the darkness all left. And the cave said, well, you know, now that I have visited you and I have experienced your light, you need to come to me, visit me, and experience my darkness. Well, the sun went to visit the cave. And it went there and the sun said, well, I don't see any darkness in here at all. I don't see any darkness at all. What do you think happened? Who is the strongest between God and Satan? Who is the strongest? See, the darkness can go visit the light, but it is overwhelmed. There's no such thing as darkness when the light comes in. Darkness cannot overpower light. It can't. It's always the other way around. If you've got light, you don't have darkness. That's how powerful God is. And that's what Jesus Christ can do to you. He can come and visit your cave and all the darkness will just have to go. And that's wonderful. That's where he's saying here, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing us. And we can be completely clean and pure. So the question, has your sin affected anybody else? Is it just between you and God? Did it give you victory when you confess it to God? Did it give you victory over that sin that you were struggling with? If it did not, you know, did it give you peace? And did it cleanse you from unrighteousness? Or are you continuing in that sin? Are you continuing in your habit or the thing that you wanted so hard to break? It makes me think of Psalms 32. I'll read just two verses, the first two verses. It's almost like, you know, these verses should be memorized, which I didn't do as such, but I'll read them to you. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered by the light. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. God is wanting all your sins. He is wanting all your darkness. And then God takes that, and he walks over to the sea, and he throws it in there, and it sinks to the bottom of the sea. He walks up, he walks away from that, and it's in the sea of forgetfulness. But when you walk up there to that sea, there's a sign there. And you know what the sign says? It says, no fishing. Because there are people who have that problem of fishing in God's sea of forgetfulness. And that's what happens when you over and over again confess a sin to God, and you have already confessed it. And if you can't quite trust him that he is faithful and just to forgive your sin, and he has thrown it into that sea, and here you go fishing again. And here we go. It's like bringing the darkness back into your life and struggling with this darkness. You've got to let the light come in and deal with those things. And he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. And there's just one more point here. In verse 7, where he says, we have fellowship one with another. And the original text would say that the main meaning of this, where we have fellowship one with another, is in verse 3, where he says, where John says, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the crux. That is the essence of fellowship. When we walk in the light as he is in the light. See, Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit, that is all light. And it's saying that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And when we do that, we are free then to walk in the light, walk in his light. And then we have fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. And of course, then, when we have that, we will have fellowship one with another. And how sweet it is. Let's kneel to pray.